All right, hi everybody. Yep, as you said, I'm Madeline Beck. I'm a regional public radio reporter. I cover a lot of different things. I'm based in Galesburg, Illinois. But why I wanted to gather a public discussion today was largely because I did a series of stories that were published in mid-October, but have been playing since. Half of the series made it onto Here and Now, and that played just the day after Thanksgiving. Basically just about the challenges of farmland succession, both the passing down of farmland as well as young people being able to find farmland to start out on. So I have brought together this esteemed panel that is, I'm glad that all of them could make it tonight. Coming farthest is Melissa O'Rourke. She came a little over 3 hours to be here today. So if you have questions, now's the time to ask her. Unless you want to make a drive out there. She's an attorney and a farm and agribusiness management specialist for Iowa State University Extension and Outreach. And another Iowa State University Extension and Outreach participant here is Dave Baker, David Baker, who's director of the Beginning Farmer Center, part of Iowa State University Extension and Outreach. Also a farm transition specialist, Beginning Farmer Network advisor, lots of different hats. And then farthest over here is Kate Edwards. She has a farm a little north of Iowa City. She's a farmer and an Iowa farmland access navigator at the nonprofit Renewing the Countryside, as well as a bunch of other hats. So before we start, if anyone, give them applause for all making it here tonight. And just to start out, since those titles are kind of complicated and convoluted, if each of you could just tell me what it is you do in your role and how is it that you help people get through farmland succession and navigation?
I'm Dave Baker, and as a member of ISU Extension and Outreach, my title is Farm Transition Specialist. I've been with the Beginning Farmer Center for about 13 years and really enjoy my work because I'm working with farm families almost exclusively. Either those that are bringing back sons and daughters or relatives to their farm operation, or I have this linking program called Ag Link, where I work with non-related parties to keep farm operations going into the future by attracting young people that would love an opportunity to farm, whereas many of the farm operators are getting to be in their 60s and 70s and are thinking of other things like retirement, visiting grandchildren, mission work, just travel. So we're trying to give them another option other than a farm sale, and we think the local communities definitely will benefit from that. So part of my job is working with the public, trying to keep the small communities vibrant, and most time it's rural communities. So a little bit of economic development out in the countryside, I think, and I want to thank Harvest Public Media for bringing me onto the program back in October. Definitely, we don't have an advertising budget for our program. So anytime we can get, quote, free advertising or free, free exposure to the public, it's great, great news for us. So.
Hi there, I'm Melissa O'Rourke. And as Madeline said, I'm an attorney and a farm and agribusiness management specialist with Iowa State University Extension and Outreach. I had quite a few years of practicing privately, and I'm licensed in South Dakota, Iowa, and Nebraska. So in all those years of private practice, I did a lot of work in agricultural law, working with farm and ranch families, and different issues that come up in terms of business planning or disputes or things like that, but a great deal of work having to do with estate planning, farm succession planning, gifting, things like that. So that led me, 10 years ago to start working. I had done some kind of contract work with ISU Extension, and then I had the opportunity to start working full-time with ISU Extension doing what I do. I feel like I have just the greatest job in the world because I get to every day work with great individuals, farm families, individuals, couples, and family groups who are just constantly looking at what's the future of the farm. And in contrast to Dave, I kind of tend to do, I try to get with families a lot earlier than when somebody's in their 60s and 70s and doesn't know what to do. And we'll probably talk about this a little bit more, but I try to get to families when we're working with trying to say, you know, even the youngest people, what, you know, as we look at multiple generations, what are the future roles of those various people in the future of the farm? And then, yes, it does happen where they look around that family group and there isn't anybody there that they see in the future is going to move into those roles of running the farm. And I try to, you know, help them look around and find other people that might be interested in continuing that farm legacy. But I do educational programmings. And I go outside of Iowa. I go to conferences around the nation and do presentations, education in that regard. I meet with individual groups or individuals and couples and family groups, sometimes dealing with family conflict, that type of thing. I write articles. But like I said, I just have the greatest job in the world. I get to work with great people every day. Kate.
My name is Kate Edwards, or as a lot of people in my life affectionately call me, Farmer Kate. I farm near Iowa City, and I'm a generation removed from farming. My grandparents, both sets, made it through the farm crisis, and I was born at the end of the farm crisis, and it was pressed upon me as a very young child that I wanted to do something about the state of the family farm, not our family farm, but the idea of the family farm. And so I ended up getting a degree in engineering, thinking that I was going to work in that world. And I was working in the Twin Cities back in 2009 and was wishing I was walking to a barn instead of my office. And so I took a little bit of time and I thought, what am I going to do about this? And I ended up quitting my job and I became a farmer. I became a farmer before I had land. And so one of the things that I'll talk about later is that I've been through the farmland access scenario twice, and I now own land, or I don't own land, I own a building on land, so I'm building equity, but I still don't own land because of various factors that beginning farmers face. But now I feed over 200 families in the Iowa City area vegetables 6 months of the year. And back in, I think it was 2012, Harvest Public Media did a story on me back in my second year, and I was doing 30 CSA boxes, and I couldn't imagine a world beyond that, and now we do almost 200. So it's kind of been fun to see the farm grow. I also, as of 2 years ago, started working with an organization called Renewing the Countryside in the winter months, and this was basically out of a desire to help other beginning farmers understand the challenges that I went through as a beginning farmer and how they might overcome some of those challenges. So there's something called the Farmland Access Hub, and it's a tri-state. It's through Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Iowa. And through this project, we have about 20 different steering committee organizations that are on the steering committee, including Practical Farmers of Iowa, which is the big Iowa organization. And the idea behind this is there's a lot of wonderful organizations out there for farmland owners. But there's not a lot of coaching for, there's a lot of, you know, conferences you can go to and presentations you go to, but there's not a lot of one-on-one coaching that you can receive as a beginning farmer to navigate these issues. So I meet one-on-one free of charge to the beginning farmer, especially since a lot of beginning farmers are resource limited. And because of this grant, we have the opportunity through the USDA funding to meet with beginning farmers. And then we help them through a range of issues. Sometimes it's coaching along the lines of what type of farming they want to be doing, but a lot of times it's always related directly to what land access scenario they're going to pursue. So it's what the appropriate land access. A lot of times a beginning farmer will think, I want to buy a farm, and they have no idea what that means. They don't know what that means financially. And then a lot of times there are opportunities where it's just a little bit of nudging in the right direction and some resources that we need to present to them that they maybe didn't hear of. So it's really fun, and it's a way of me kind of passing on some of the things that mentors taught me, as always, I'm still learning as well. So it's a really great opportunity. And like I said, the majority of the year I'm farming. Today was one of those days where both worlds collided. I was working on my greenhouse construction this most of the day and then rushed here. So I'm excited to be here with you guys.